The word to which I referred we find in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Here Paul wrote to his co-worker the following. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That is what matters. We have to wait for the appearing of the Lord, having a deep longing for it. Like young people who are engaged, they feel a longing in them to be together, being together. It must be so in us, spiritually. Such a longing must fill us, filling us in such a way that we can't take it anymore, that we can't wait any longer, but that we are, by the divine love, drawn to our heavenly bridegroom. And this is not yet like this, but it has to become this way. And I believe that we will come to it. The love of God to our Lord and Savior will bring us to it, that we will feel it, this draw toward Him more than ever before. Already now we have the draw to hear His word. We are longing to hear what He has to say to us. We love Him. We love His word. But now, right at the end, comes then the transition that we also come to love His appearing, that we prepare for it, inwardly rejoicing about it, that He will return as He promised us. In connection with the various tasks which our Lord has to fulfill, let me read from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and you will see that many terms are used: judge, king, redeemer, and Lord. There are various tasks, and they are expressed in various ways. Here, in Matthew 25, from verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Here, in the German Bible, we read bucks. Actually, it should say goats. I believe you all know this, who you have read the Bible. Here it should be written, He divideth His sheep from the goats. So this is 100% correct. 100%. Not male from female. This would be a shame. Then the males would be all left behind, and then in heaven would only be women, and this may not be true. So we will also have to be there. Without us, there is no rapture. But also this I have said somewhere, and then I was misunderstood terribly. Ah, Brother Ruth says in the footnote, one can read it. Whoever has a footnote, here it says, it does not mean rams, but billy goats. It's even written in the footnote. But I really said somewhere, just recently, where people believe that the rapture took place already, and the Lord has come already, and so forth, I just simply said, as long as you see me here, no rapture has taken place yet. And, not in my presence, but afterwards, a brother was so upset, and he just said, what does this Brother Frank think of himself to say, as long as he's here, the rapture didn't take place yet? I don't think anything of myself. I just simply believe that I will also be raptured. And if I'm still here, then the rapture didn't take place yet. You are also still here. But there are people, they are twisted in their spirit. And whatever one then still says, this is then understood wrongly. So, when the Lord will sit upon the throne of His glory, and this is already after the marriage supper, when He will then sit on the throne of His glory to judge the nations and to administer justice. And do you know what it then says in verse 34? There is not the word judge written, but the word king. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Very clear. Then the millennial reign starts. Before that, he has the task as judge to administer justice. And then he starts to reign as king. And we all will reign with him as kings. That's how it is written in Revelation, in chapter 20. This you can also read. Revelation, chapter 20. Here it says, in verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. One moment, I have to read before that. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We have here not the time to show all the connections. We live, as we emphasized, in a very special time. There is no scripture, no connections, which are still unclear. And if there would be still something that we cannot see yet, then we will still see it when the hour has come for it. God leads us from knowledge to knowledge and from clarity. To stick with the subject which we dealt with, let me read from the Old Testament, namely from Nehemiah. You all know that the things of the Old Testament have the shadow image for the New Testament. And with this word here, we would like to bring this weekend to the close. Nehemiah, whoever doesn't know the Old Testament well, it's close to Ezra. And then comes most surely Job or Esther, whatever. Nehemiah chapter 8. Here I read from verse 8. Nehemiah 8. Pardon me, verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.
Seid nicht traurig und weint nicht. Das ganze Volk hatte nämlich beim Anhören der Worte des Gesetzes zu weinen begonnen.
Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Freude am Herrn ist eure Stärke.
So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved.
Und seid nicht niedergeschlagen. Da ging
And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. This is a wonderful word. With what time are we dealing here? The return of the people from the Babylonian captivity, the rebuilding of the temple, the gathering of the people, and then it was read from the book of God, and all heard and began to weep. It was a day that was holy unto the Lord our God. Beloved, we believe that this day in which we live is holy unto our God. It is a special day. And our brother from Brussels told it to us in his testimony very clear. He clinged so much to the church that he even wanted to carry it. He wanted to carry it. Thus it was shown to him in the dream, if I understood correctly. And suddenly it said, Come out of it, everything full of demons. Ye my people, come out. Be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. Did not the prophet Isaiah say in chapter 28, All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, but God has prepared for us in these days a pure table with pure divine food, and we may invite everyone to partake of it. And what is the food? The food is God's word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And here we are again at the core of the matter for our days. Not a word mixed with the opinions of men, but the pure, the clear and true and holy word of God, as the Thus saith the Lord. Divine, pure food we may receive in us. Ezra said, the people returned from Babylon. He who is acquainted with Jewish history knows. Right about the Babylonian Talmud, which the people read at the time of Jesus and were misled by it. Instead of reading the Torah and the prophets, they read the Babylonian Talmud. And until this day, It is right there at the Wailing Wall, and they read in it all the interpretations instead of reading the Word of God. God doesn't want that we read something similar that men had written during the time when the church was still in the Babylonian captivity. We live in a totally different time. We don't read old books and what men have said 300 or 400 years ago. We gather God's people in the name of the Lord in His presence, and we read from the Book of God, the words of God, and they touch our hearts. That's how it was then, and the day is, as we read it, a holy day to the Lord. And it was said for a consolation, don't be grieved and don't weep. In Babylon, the harps were hanging on the trees. There was sorrow. And they said, how shall we sing the songs of our God in a strange land? They were not ready to take the harps off the trees and to sing. They had nothing to sing about. There was sorrow and mourning. But when they returned, when their feet stepped upon the ground of Jerusalem, when the temple was rebuilt and the people have been gathered, and the word, the original word, not the Talmud, the original word was read to them, there they were touched on their deep inside. They were touched. Just say, how do we feel in these days? Who is still touched on the inside? At first, we were touched. And just now, I told it to you last Saturday, on my last journey through Africa, where thousands of people, for the first time, have heard what God has done in this time. Yes. You should have witnessed this once, in what kind of emotion they received what they have heard and how their reaction was. Let never the condition come up in you that God's word does no more overwhelm us. God's holy word must always overwhelm us anew. To it is necessary that we come by faith and that we receive and believe the word. Sometimes some have trouble and therefore there's inwardly not this reaction, but it will still come. Don't you worry. Here at the end we have read, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. In that moment, where we understood the word which was declared unto us, we also can thank and praise the Lord. With a divine clarity comes thankfulness, comes peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. A person who has uncertainty, who has no clarity about any matter, whatever decision it might concern, he is torn on his inside. In the moment where clarity comes, comes also thankfulness. And so it was then. Therefore it says here, Ezra and his brothers, Nehemiah and so forth, they instructed the people, and it was said, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Don't be grieved and weep not. It were times of testing that they had to go through, Many things were done to them, but they experienced the day on which the started work had found its completion. Is it not written in Zechariah chapter 4 that we shouldn't disregard the small beginning, because we will see the capstone in the hands of Zerubbabel? What was it? God starts. He gives promises. When the time comes, then he fulfills them. He said through the prophet Jeremiah that Israel would be 70 years in captivity, and when 68 years had passed, the prophet Daniel was reading in the scriptures of the prophet Jeremiah, and the Spirit of God began to work in him. And when the time was over, God turned the fate and led his people back and fulfilled the promises that he has given. God watches over his word to fulfill it. We have the comparison for the time in which we live, a coming out from all what is Babylon. But please, let us not only come out from Babylon, we also want to take Babylon out from us. Many have come out from here and from there and have all pockets full of the old, what was here and there. No, we have to totally put off the old things. I don't know whether this is a lopsided comparison, but a person who is preparing to die, of him it is being said, the last shirt has no pocket. You can't put anything in there. If we are ready to die with Christ, then please don't fill the pockets right and left with old stuff. But we want to go with him into death, to come forth with him unto a new life. And then we will seek what is above, and not taking over old leaven to somehow then again acidify the new. No, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Purge out therefore the old leaven from your midst, for even a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." This we have to keep in mind. For this purpose, God revealed unto us his word, to put away all old leaven. And the disciples, they asked themselves, what does he mean with it? When the Lord spoke of the leaven about bread, he knew their thoughts and told them of the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And only then they understood that the old leaven is not lying somewhere in a dough trough, but that it consists in false doctrines, and they had to be put off. And we all have to do that too, to become a new dough through and through. And this happens then when we understand the word of God, and when we add nothing anymore to it. Here it says, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Don't be grieved and weep not." The time of weeping, sometimes one has to weep. Just recently, I was told a story. There I almost had to weep. Sometimes we weep over things that hurt us or others. But the spiritual realm, if we look at it properly, then there's only one thing left, and this is the joy of the Lord. which then can become our strength. And to this, God wants to help all of us. And it says here, then he said unto them, verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. So, there are people who are then surprised. And Brother Rus read from Job, and there is chapter after chapter right in Job where either he or one of the three friends has said something. Chapter after chapter, probably 37 chapters, one would have to look it up. Yes, 37 chapters passed by where Job said something, then Elo, and who they were. And everybody gave his wisdom to the best. But then, in chapter 38, there the Lord began. And in that moment, the fate turned. Then God administered justice. And Job had to intercede for his friends, who were fully in the right. Over 37 chapters, they were in the right. And suddenly, when the Lord spoke, then he rebuked them so hard that in chapter 42, in verse 7, is written, Job 42, verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, this was the spokesman, he had to say so. And he says here, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. What was it? They have brought that man who was already sorely afflicted, whom the devil has attacked. Him they brought even in greater despair and have excruciated him with their speeches without that they understood what they did. By the way, at one time, Job boiled over. And then he said, in chapter 19, I know it because I have written it in the circular letter. Here, Job 19, here it says, in verse 2, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? This also exists. One doesn't have to torture one. One can excruciate people with words, with speeches, with suspicions, with all kinds of things. That we destroy them, that they can't anymore. And then, as I said, Job boiled over, and he says in verse 3, these 10 times have ye reproached me. He even counted it. These 10 times have ye reproached me. You are not ashamed to hurt me. They hurt him. But as I said, in that moment, when the Lord intervened, when he spoke, the whole fate turned, and there was something to eat and to drink. There was a feast, and God instructed Job to pray for his friends. Here in Nehemiah we read that also to them should be given something for whom nothing was prepared. There will be people who will still experience their surprises. People who didn't count with it at all. And suddenly, the Lord will pull them out of the fire. And they will eat and drink and sit at the Lord's table. It says here in such a wonderful way in verse 11 and 12. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." What was it? A holy day, a day that the Lord has made, a day of the special blessings of the Almighty God among those people who returned from the Babylonian captivity. And in the same way, we in these days may make the comparison with the Church of the Living God, to which we number ourselves. Oh yes, I count myself to the Church of the Firstborn, and I hope and I believe all of us. God has taken care for it, that His people were led out from the spiritual captivity and is brought back upon the holy ground on which Paul and Peter and all the men of God, all the prophets and apostles walked on, and of which Paul writes to the Ephesians that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Prophets and apostles have spoken, and we may return to the true word, to the point of origin, to the original proclamation of that what our brothers preached at the beginning. This is restoration, returning into that what God promised to the church in these last days. Also to us, the Lord wants to say today, be still, for the day is holy, and don't be grieved. Many times we are grieved about some kind of things, but when we sit under the sound of the Word of God, and when we become aware what God has done on us, that He opened all the prisons, that He has led us out from all Babylon. Look how close the things are together. Babel means the gate of God. Babylon means confusion. How quickly out of the Babel, from the gate of God, was made a Babylon. The things are very close to one another. What did the enemy make out of the original Word of God? How many interpretations and twistings, that nothing but a Babylon was left. But God opened all the prisons, and He brought us back onto the holy ground. We shall no longer be grieved, but recognize that this day in which we live now is holy unto the Lord our God. For it is a special day, a day that all prophets and apostles would have liked to experience, and we may experience it by His grace. A day that the Lord has made. And it says here, right at the end, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. There are the words in the prophet Joel that when the Lord will restore, then the fats shall overflow with wine and oil, and there will be no more lack. The fullness will be here again. For thus saith the Lord, I will restore. He will give everything back, restoring everything in its original condition. The people of God will again rejoice, taking the harps from the trees, and there will be joy and jubilation among the people of God. The key to all this is in the last words of verse 12. Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. May God give me and you, to all of us, and to all His people, the grace to understand Him in His speaking, to place everything the right way, and in great expectation, walking forward, the Lord builds His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, when it was built then, how the enemies caused harm to them, and how even friends came and wanted to build with them. But there were people who didn't find their birth certificate. Did you know that? Oh yes. There were people who were looking after their birth certificate and didn't find it. I actually didn't want to touch upon this. It is written in Nehemiah 7, in verse 64, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. We don't want to go here into detail. We believe that we are of divine kindred. We believe that we were born again by the seed of the word unto a living hope. We are not strangers and foreigners. We are citizens of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. And in the word which our brother read from 2 Corinthians, we were all told what the Lord wanted to make out of us. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And this is written after the command to come out of everything, to no longer touch the unclean thing. And then the Lord wants to receive us. So there is a condition to be received and then to be set in into the sonship, to come out from everything, to be fully in Christ, in His word, in His power, in His spirit. We have to come out from everything totally to fully enter into the divine. We have to leave everything out of our hands and hearts that is not according to the word, so that we can fully receive the revelation of the word. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is our time. This is our day. There are words in the Old and in the New Testament which simply find fulfillment in our days. When was there a time of the final calling out? And what did Brother Branham say? out of this last revival, no new denomination will come up, but the bride church will come forth from it. All the other revivals, and this is no criticism, just a sad fact, they have organized, have, just after the pattern of the mother, all the daughters have done. But now at the end, in the prophetic age in which we are now in, God has let know the prophetic plan to His people and has revealed His word unto us fresh from the throne. A pure table has He prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, and they are after us. It is better to be hated than to hate. It is better to be slandered than to slander. And thus one could continue the register. One recognizes by this and from it what manner of spirit one is. True seed of God cannot hate. Even it would make efforts, it doesn't work. It is impossible. The nature of Jesus fills us, and the fruits of the Spirit are manifested. We have, at this weekend, spoken about special days, and this was now the completion. At that time was also a special day that was holy to the Lord. And I tell you, which days are holy to the Lord? These days on which He, among His people, can work, can speak, and bless. These are days that are holy to Him. And such a day is also this day, the day of salvation, the day of grace in which we live, and the time in which we arrived is a special time. I said it already, a prophetic time phase where only those find their way around who not only hear the prophetic word for this time, but who get it revealed by the Spirit. All the others, they will be put to shame. In closing, still the thought. The ministry of Brother Branham was acknowledged by all, and all let themselves be blessed by God. But when then it was said that he is the prophet who was promised in the word, then the spirits were separated. They didn't want to admit that God fulfills now what He promised. All want to receive blessings, but no one or many are not ready to submit under it. We are grateful to God that we recognized the ministry that was promised. We are also grateful for that we don't give glory to a man, but to the living God. We will not dare to glorify a man. What did Brother Branham say? He says, "This word is my absolute." And this word is and remains our absolute until the end. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. May the Lord God bless us all very richly. Amen. Amen. Maybe we come to the front, as we did many times, to thank the Lord together.